The Body Love Binge is the podcast for you if you're so done with living in the hellhole of an eating disorder, hating your body and constantly wishing you were thinner. If you're truly ready to heal from anorexia, bulimia or binge eating disorder and genuinely make friends with your body, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Victoria Kleinsman, a food freedom and body love coach, eating disorder and abuse survivor, who's on an absolute mission to love and support millions of women to come back home to self-love and intuition eating. If it's possible for me, I know it's possible for you as well. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you in the episode. Well, queens, I have a guest with me today, and that guest is a previous client of mine called Rosie. Rosie, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Of course, let's go into, I want to say 10, but for some reason today my intuition is saying 5. I'm going to choose 5 quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number 1, weights or cardio?
Cardio.
3 things you love?
My dog.
Yeah.
My partner and chocolate.
3 awesome things. Although you did forget yourself, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Myself as well.
You can have 4. That was 2. Number 3. Do you have a favorite quote or mantra or saying that you like to live by or remind yourself of?
Something that my mum used to say a lot is every cloud has a silver lining. I think that's probably the one.
Love that one. Okay, what one should I choose next? Number 4, if you could be an animal or a mythical creature, what would you be and why?
I think it'd be really cool to fly. So a bird of some sort.
Yeah, with you on that one.
Yeah, that's what I can think of.
And last one, I might know the answer to this from previous conversations with you, obviously, but your favourite food?
Peanut M&Ms.
Yes.
Every day.
I went to the cinema last night. I took myself on a solo date and I had a bag of those as well. It's delicious. Nice. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, so like I said, before we press record, I have my questions, but it's just going to be very intuitively led and whatever direction it goes in is perfect.
Okay.
But can you go back? I know it was quite a while ago now, before you signed up for coaching with me.
Yeah.
Can you share what you were struggling with and why you contacted me so people can relate to perhaps how you used to be?
Yeah. So I decided to get in contact with you because my binge eating was just out of control. I felt like it was actually controlling me. Mm. And it was making me really unwell and really unhappy and quite stressed. And I had tried to do different things, like I'd done some reading, listened to various different podcasts and tried to do things slightly differently, but I just kept on coming back into that cycle of mm-hmm. binging, purging, and it was becoming more and more frequent and more intense. And then I actually came across an interview that you did with somebody else. It was on a different podcast. It wasn't yours. And yeah, just the things that you were saying really resonated with me. So yeah.
Then we started.
Yes.
We did. And am I remembering correctly, Rosie? Did you have a dancing background?
No.
But you were, okay, so I'm thinking of someone else, but I remember you being very much obsessed with the way your body was, and it was in the fitness yes. world, wasn't it? Similar to my experience. So can you talk about how you used to show up in the fitness world and how that controlled your life?
So about 4 years ago, I decided to go and try CrossFit. And I just got obsessed with it. It was September 2019. So I started CrossFit, got really, really into it. And then we went into lockdown in, was it like February or something?
Yeah, I think it was February. Yeah.
And I built my own gym at home. And then I just started training on my own. And I was doing CrossFit, running, cycling, all that sort of stuff. And just became really obsessed. Prior to that, I wasn't that into exercise. I enjoyed the odd walk. I did a few park runs here and there. But I wasn't particularly motivated. There wasn't anything that I was particularly into exercise wise. So yeah, my exercise journey sort of started 4 years ago.
Yeah. What do you think got you into, what do you think switched from just doing CrossFit to try it to that obsessive compulsive disorder that you were in?
I don't really know. I just remember going and getting such a high from this really intense workout, and my body started changing. I lost something like 2 stone, and got super lean and really strong and quite like muscly. And I'd always sort of admired people who looked like that and always wanted to be someone who was thin. And I just thought I could never achieve it. And then I started to look that way, and I just, became so obsessed by it. Sorry, I've forgotten your question.
No, that was, I can't remember what I asked exactly. It was how the obsession began, but I think it's to mirror back what you said, perhaps it was you got sucked in by the validation and the admiration of yourself and others having the body you had.
Yeah, and people used to comment on my body and the way I looked, and it was amazing for people to be like, you're so thin, like your body's incredible. And it was just the best feeling at the time. It was also around about this time that I started going out with my partner, and I just thought he was like the most amazing, attractive person ever. And I didn't feel like I really deserved him. I thought he was way out of my league. So when I started to look this way, it made me feel like I deserved him. Every time I did a really intense workout or a really long CrossFit session, I'd be like, yeah, I feel great about myself. Everything's fine. As soon as I didn't work out or I ate too much food, I'd feel so shit about myself and didn't feel like I deserved to be with him.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, because I remember that was a key part of our coaching, wasn't it? It always linked back to you not feeling like you were worthy of him if you didn't look a certain way or eat a certain way. And that came from you. He had no say, or he was having no pressure towards you, was he, about what you looked like or what you ate or didn't eat?
No, not at all. In fact, it's like the opposite. So it was all created in my own mind from a place of huge insecurity. And just really disliking myself.
I remember when I asked you to send me your typical exercise regime for the week, and then you sent it me, and then you were like, do you think that's too much, or do I need to be doing more? And I lovingly laughed out loud to you and was like, Rosie, you're doing like 10 times more than you should actually be doing in a month, let alone a week. I mean, it was intense. I was addicted to exercise, but it topped what I used to do. And I don't even know how your body was okay. Well, it wasn't okay. Tell us about what happened because of all that over-exercising.
Yeah. So about probably 3.5 months ago, I was in the gym and I did something really simple. I jumped up onto a barbell plate. It was part of my warm-up, and my back just went. And I was in so much pain. And then about 3 days later, this horrific sciatica started. And eventually I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lie down on my back. I couldn't lie down on my right side. I could only get comfortable by lying on my front or lying on my left side. And I was just completely crippled. I had never experienced pain like it. It was just so horrific. So I prolapsed my disc, and that was through an accumulation of, I believe, just overtraining, damaging my back from weightlifting, probably with not very good technique. I mentioned that I set up my own gym during lockdown, at which I'd only been doing CrossFit for like, what, 6 months maybe. And I started doing this quite intense program on my own where there was no one watching me. So I'm also hypermobile as well, so I can like squat really low. And I was trying to like PB all the time, not eating enough, not resting. I hated rest days, could not cope with them mentally. I felt lost. I felt like I had no identity. It was really weird. So I would avoid resting. So I think it was an accumulation of probably lifting a bit too much weight with not very good technique, not resting, doing loads of cardio, not eating right. And then maybe like a bit of bad luck. Maybe I think some people are prone to disorders and things like that. So, but I definitely could have avoided it had I have looked after myself a little bit better.
And so when, and I want to go into your recovery in a moment, but let's just go back to the food stuff when you came to me. Did you think that working together would, and I'm going to use air quotes, work in terms of like stop your binge eating? And why or why not in regards to what you think about the question?
So I was quite skeptical at the beginning just because I felt like I tried loads of different things and it hadn't worked. But I think the main thing that we worked on, which I needed help with, was liking myself a bit more. Because as I've probably already made clear, the training came from a place of disliking myself. So I think that was like the main thing that I really needed to work on, in order to start my recovery. And it definitely did help me. But it was only until I couldn't exercise anymore because of my injury that things really started to change for me. I think there was a part of me that was, it was like 70% of me really wanted to recover from the eating, overeating and the purging and the overexercise. And I wanted to work on these things with you, but there was like 30% of me that was like, no, you're not really going to commit to this properly because you need to carry on the way that you're going
To feel good enough.
to feel good. And it was only when I physically couldn't move and realizing what I'd done to myself, and spending, so it's been, yeah, just over 3 months now, just not being able to exercise and realizing that I can cope and I'm still here. And like my relationship has just improved so much because I'm not always buggering off to the gym or like getting so exhausted that I'm so moody. I'm just a lot more relaxed and just content.
How would you say your relationship with food has changed, and why do you think that has been?
I now pretty much eat what I want whenever I want to eat it. I don't really have any restriction. I don't have any restriction. I try to eat well in order to fuel my body, especially when I've been recovering from the surgery. I knew that what I was eating was so important. But if I crave something, I'll just have it. I don't restrict in any way, and I feel so much better for it. I feel like I'm just like free.
Music to my ears, because we think the binging is a problem, but it's the restriction that's a problem.
Absolutely. One of the things that I remember you asking me to do was to have something of what I really want to eat every day. And that terrified me. And I tried to do it for like a little bit, and then I went back to my old ways. And then I did it again. And as I said, since the injury, just eating what I want whenever I want it, it's now not an issue. And I used to like just eat a whole jar of Nutella and feel so ill afterwards. But now I don't even want to. Like, it does not appeal to me. Yeah, I'd maybe have a couple of spoonfuls and I'd probably really enjoy it, but I would never eat the whole jar. And I just don't want to.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Because I, as you know, I was the Nutella fiend. And I was like, I'm never going to get over this obsession with Nutella. And now I'm like, I don't even want, I mean, like you, I'd have a spoon and I'll be like, I'll be done. I'd totally be fine and complete with the Nutella.
Yeah.
And that only comes from allowance.
And it's quite funny. Like yesterday, for example, I was really craving pick and mix and chocolate and carbs. And I just said to my partner, I was like, okay, tonight we're having snacks. So I went and got loads of snacks. What I thought was loads of snacks, not loads of snacks, just a normal amount, maybe a bit too much. And I didn't feel bad about it. I really enjoyed it. And I don't overeat anymore. Like, I'm not eating to the point where I don't want to be eating it. Like,
yes.
I'll feel full and satisfied, and then that's enough. I don't go past that point. It's like I'm not able to binge anymore. I can't, because my body doesn't need to. So
yes, because you're actually nourishing yourself and you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
What do you think changed that enabled you to actually start liking who you are and knowing that you are enough without having to be a certain size?
I wouldn't say that I particularly love my, I'm not confident still. I don't like think I look amazing. I don't particularly like the way I look, but I've realized that I have to look after myself. So I have that love of just wanting to look after myself now and to make sure that I'm healthy and I can go and do the things that I really love. And I can't do those things if I'm abusing myself. So it's sort of like acceptance now of who I am, and I know I'm not supposed to be really thin. I'm quite curvy, and I'm not really lean naturally, and that's fine. Like, I'm cool with that now. My partner's obviously like so complimentary about how I look, which is really nice, and it's definitely helped me. But for myself, it's just about looking after myself now.
That is wonderful. And do you mind sharing how your relationships changed, how you went, because you used to pick arguments, if I remember, like, didn't you, with him because you didn't feel enough, so you'd like be angry towards him to almost cause him to not want to be with you because you didn't think you were worthy of it. So how has that changed, if you don't mind sharing about that?
It's changed quite a lot of ways, really. So for example, if we had a weekend off together, I would just be disappearing off to the gym or for a run. So we were never able to really go out as a family with his son to go and do something together, because I would be doing exercise. And that used to create a lot of tension, understandably. I used to get really, really exhausted, which would make me really moody. And then we'd argue because I would just be a bit of a bitch. He used to get really frustrated because he could see what was happening, and he could see all this, like, I wasn't eating properly, and it really, really frustrated him. And I just didn't listen. And then I started to hide it from him. I was like cheating on him with the gym, basically. And I would say I was doing something else, but I was actually at the gym. And I used to like have this obsession with protein bars and energy drinks. That's kind of what I was living on. Like these ultra processed protein bars. I'd have like two a day. I'd have one for breakfast. That would be my breakfast after a CrossFit session. And he just got so wound up about it.
Because he cares about you, doesn't he? He wants you
yeah,
to nourish him.
Exactly. He could see what was happening, and he would say over and over again, "You're going to really fuck yourself up. It's going to happen." And I'm like, "No, no, no. I'm fine. I'm looking after myself."
And you knew you wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say the hardest and best part of coaching or your journey more so has been? Well, so let's start with the most challenging part, would you say?
The most challenging part was trying to reintroduce what I deemed as bad foods into my life daily on a daily basis. I really struggled with that. To let go of that control. And then taking my watch off.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, I just couldn't let go of it because I was tracking my exercise and my steps all the time, and I was so obsessed with it. And I remember you asking me to take it off, and I think I took it off for like a day, and then
you put it in a drawer in your dad's. It was something to do with your dad's drawer, I remember.
I don't remember, but I tried to take it off, and I took it off for a little bit, and then I put it back on again. And then when I hurt myself, there's literally no point in me wearing it because I wasn't moving. So for about 3 months, I didn't wear it, and I just wasn't bothered at all. And now I'm wearing it, but I don't track anything.
What do you wear it for? I'm just curious.
The time.
Literally for the time.
Literally just to look at the time. Like, I used to track every single walk I did. Everything was recorded. Obviously, it was hidden, so no one could see it on Strava or Garmin, because I didn't want anyone to know how much I was doing. It was purely for myself to track absolutely everything.
Yeah. So would you say that what happened to you with your slip disc was actually such a gift in a way? Yeah.
I'm hoping so. Because I've still in, I could get a bit of discomfort, and I've got damage from the compression on my nerves. So I'm still in a little bit of discomfort, and I'm still not 100%. But I'm starting to see, and I hope that this is going to be a blessing. Because I feel like I've learned so much, and I have such a different outlook on exercise and food now.
I feel like the universe gives you nudges, and then if you don't listen, it will like slap you around the face, and then you still didn't listen to that, and then it will literally put you on your back.
Yeah.
No choice, because this was your path to learn and understand that you can't keep going like this, because you're going to have no life, no partner, because you'd have pushed him away. Like, no, like, I know what it was like to be that obsessive.
Yeah.
So in a way, the universe has intervened and been like, now you have no choice.
Yeah.
And let's see what you do with this. And what I can see is you've just ran with it in the best way possible and just learned so much about yourself.
Yeah.
From this really traumatic thing happening to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I realized what's really important to me and what I actually love to do and what gives me like joy and happiness. And I said to my partner when I was really bad, I was like, I just want to be able to walk my dog. That's just I want to be able to go out and take Ellie out for a walk, and I don't take that for granted at all now. I'm happy just walking. But if that's my exercise for the day, like, that's great, that's amazing. And what I really like doing as well is mountain biking, but I never let myself do that on a weekend because I didn't think that it was enough exercise.
Yeah.
Unless I was in the gym absolutely hammering it, I wasn't satisfied. And now I can't wait to be able to get back onto my bike over the weekend when I'm not in work and just enjoy going out for a ride and not feeling that pressure to have to be in the gym as well.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I just feel like I've just been like freed and released from this prison of exercise.
Yes.
Yeah.
So much, yes, because you do get the dopamine hit when you've trained and when you've exercised.
Ah. And
those with addictive personalities, I don't want to kind of label that, but I just have, and I really feel that it's a thing because I'm very similar to you.
Yeah.
Those things that do give us that this rush of pleasure can be addictive, especially with the validation and all of that. But to be able to be in tune with your body now and actually take care of you, mm-hmm. that's worth so much more than that intense rush that actually doesn't mean anything to you because you've let go of who you think you need to be in order to be accepted.
Yeah. Yes.
What was the best thing or your favorite thing about your journey or coaching or both?
I've got such an obsession with food. Sorry, I keep talking about it.
Everyone listening to this podcast is obsessed with food. Trust me.
Okay,
go
right.
for it.
My absolute favorite thing has been being able to eat what I want every day.
Mm.
That's like the best thing, which I've learned to do.
Yeah. And the thing is, most people who haven't had eating disorders, but I would probably say they're in disordered eating because society's normal is disordered eating.
Yeah.
Even people who are, quote, have a normal relationship with food, they don't allow themselves to eat what they want every day.
No, I know. I know exactly. So I think the thing with food as well started because I would allow myself to eat whatever I wanted on the weekend, but I would massively restrict in the week.
Yeah.
So what I thought was a good thing to do initially when I first got into exercise and fitness and stuff, I realized now was so unhealthy. Like, you're just creating a problem for yourself because you are restricting.
Yeah.
You're restricting for 5 days of the week, and I was like compensating throughout the week for what I knew I was going to eat on the weekend.
Yeah.
And then I would just go mental over the weekend.
Totally. It is like the fitness industry, not everyone, but they teach you how to binge by calling them cheat days.
Yeah.
And to reset your leptin levels and all of that stuff.
I know. It's just ridiculous. Looking back now, I think it is crazy.
Yeah.
You're just creating a problem.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just have complete freedom around food, that craving and that the obsession with eating something just goes away because there's no issue surrounding it. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And
you can enjoy it for what it is, because when you're judging yourself, when you were, quote, binging in the past, you can't actually fully enjoy it because there's so much guilt as well.
Yeah. The other thing is I never had any hunger cues. Like, my appetite just went really weird. I would never get that hunger. You know, that feeling of hunger in your stomach.
Yeah.
I never had that ever, even though I was restricting. Or I would just feel really fatigued. And it's only now that I've stopped the restriction, my hunger cues have come back. So if I'm feeling hungry, I'll just eat. I know that's my body telling me you need to eat now. So that's all sort of like sorted itself out and gone back to normal.
Yeah, that's awesome, Rosie. What would you say? So people that listen to this podcast, there's a mixture of those that are in anorexia recovery, bulimia, binge eating, disordered eating, all the things. So thinking of your journey, if you could pick three things that would help someone, so go back to where you were, pretend you didn't have coaching.
Yeah.
If you could get told three things that would start to help you on this journey to food freedom and accept body acceptance, what would those three things be, do you think, that you would need to have heard?
It's difficult because I don't think there's anything that anyone could have said to me, really, because I was so obsessed.
Yeah.
But looking after yourself is so incredibly important for like longevity. If you want to be able to go for a run when you're 60, you need to look after yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is through resting, eating right, eating well to fuel yourself and look after yourself, but also for pleasure as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't really think of three things other than
look
just
after
the
yourself.
importance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like for the long game, it's for the, you're looking after yourself today for your health for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you said, that one thing. It's such a broad spectrum, isn't it? So looking after yourself means stopping restriction, fueling
Yes.
yourself, sleeping enough, being
Yeah.
kind to yourself, all the things. So it's actually a
Yeah.
big deal.
Yes.
What would you say to someone who has listened to this, who really resonates with your story, who's wondering whether to reach out to get help, whether that's with me or with somebody else that they've
Yeah.
been listening or watching in the past? What would you say to them if they're like, shall I try and do on my own? Shall I get help? Because obviously there's an investment involved as well, like a money
Yeah.
exchange. What would you say to that person?
I would definitely recommend to get a coach or some help because, for example, with yourself, you taught me to look at things in a completely different way and approach things in a way that I'd never even considered. And it's just through these little like strategies and little tips that you sort of introduce different things into your life and approach things slightly differently. And that support of being able to chat things through with somebody who can guide you is so invaluable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I absolutely recommend to get some support. Otherwise, you're just, yeah, I don't know how, like, well, I definitely ended up in a really bad position, but just to get help as soon as possible if you think you need it.
Yeah, thank you, Rosie. And is there anything that I've not asked you that perhaps you wanted to share, bearing in mind the audience that might be listening?
So yeah, there's one thing is I think that I was bulimic, but I wasn't bulimic in the original sense of trying to make myself sick. My purging wasn't through making myself sick. My purging was through, after a binge, I wouldn't eat the next day and I would go for like a 5 mile run. I'd do CrossFit for an hour and a half and then I'd walk as well. That was my version
You
of
were purging through, because any kind of purging behavior is trying to compensate
yes
food, and that was your
yeah
exercise.
yeah and I didn't think that I had an eating disorder,
Wow.
but I, because I didn't make myself sick, because that's what people think bulimia is
Yeah.
traditionally,
Yeah.
But I realized that I was absolutely bulimic and I had such quite a severe eating disorder and disorder with exercise as well. And I think sometimes people don't see it as a problem unless you're doing the things like making yourself sick. You're not really deemed as having a disorder. But it was making me really ill. So
I'm really glad you spoke to that, because so many people, especially those that aren't in a thin body as well, think they're not
exactly
thick enough.
Yes.
To
People,
get help.
Unless you're like absolutely tiny, people don't think that you've got a problem, but it doesn't matter what size you are, what you're doing. Like, if you have a problem which you feel is out of control and is making you unhappy and poorly, then like you seek the help that you need and you are totally entitled to it.
Yes, amen to that. Thank you, Rosie. Thank you so much for sharing about yourself today.
I hope that I might be able to help some people who may be experiencing something similar.
Yeah, I know you will. If they did want to reach out to you to ask you any questions, are you open to that for me to put your Instagram in the link?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Rosie. Lots of
okay,
love
thank
to you.
You.
Next week, listeners, I will see you next week. Lots of love. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share, subscribe, and leave me a 5-star review. Your support means the absolute world to me, and it really does help me to get my podcast out there for those that need it. Thank you.